Welcome everyone to episode 115 of the Instructional Leadership Show, streamlining your inputs and inboxes for less stress and better follow-through. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and our topic today is all around workload, right? Where our essential question is, how can I streamline all of the requests and information coming my way so I can keep track of what I need to do? And if you are entering a new role, or if you are an aspiring administrator, maybe an intern or a new administrator, or maybe you're an assistant principal looking to move up to a principalship, or perhaps a principal who has just started in a new role, this, my friends, is how you will be judged. Your competence as a leader will largely be judged not on the basis of the quality of the feedback you give individual teachers, but simply on your follow-through. You can demonstrate that you have what it takes, that you can cut it in this job by being able to follow through with your responsibilities. If someone asks you to do something, doing what they ask you to do without having to be reminded and nudged and apologized to multiple times for the, you know, for people bugging you, if you can simply follow up, that goes a huge distance. It goes a long way in building trust and demonstrating that you are competent. And if I have to think about the things that were within my control as a young aspiring principal, this was something that I took great pride in and was very diligent about. And I have to think, you know, I had other advantages. I mean, there were lots of things outside of my control that worked in my favor, including good mentorship and lots of good opportunities. But of the things that were in my control as an aspiring principal, this is something that I took very seriously, and I think it paid off very well for me, and I think it will pay off for you too. So let's talk about how you can follow through and follow up better by streamlining all of the requests that are made of you and the information that's flowing your way. And here's the problem. So many people need your time and attention as a leader. And of course, the higher level you are serving at, the higher you go in this world, the more people need something from you, or at least want something for you. The more people contact you and expect you to follow up with them in some way. And they don't always do it in the way that you would prefer. There are lots of different ways for people to give you work or make requests of you. Sometimes they ask you in person, sometimes they ask you over email or text or some other way that may or may not be your preferred way of communicating. And you've got to figure out how to follow up, how to make sure that you don't lose track of anything, and then make sure that all of those requests are included in what you're looking at when you decide what to spend your time on. Because if everything's in a different place, it's going to be very hard to compare your email and the sticky notes on your desk and stuff you left at home and stuff that's in notebooks for meetings. If it's all in different places, it's going to be very hard to decide what to work on at any given time. So this problem of multiple streams of input, I think, has gotten worse in the last couple of years, right? I had the fortune of being a principal at a time before people routinely texted each other about everything. I think texting was still kind of rare. You might text your immediate family members, but people didn't really text their work colleagues all that much when I was a principal, and I'm grateful for that. And now that it is normal for people to get messages in all formats, text and Facebook Messenger and whatever app of the week is out there, all sorts of stuff is coming at us that maybe used to come face-to-face or over email. We have other apps that are sending notifications. You know, maybe your district has HR and purchasing and finance and payroll apps that send you notifications. You've got people leaving you voicemails and sending you emails. You've got meetings that you're going to where you're taking notes and need to follow up and take different actions. You've got the good old got a minutes in the hallway, right, where people walk up to you and say, hey, can you do this for me? I really need something. You know, can you help me out? Can you write me a recommendation letter or sign this for me, whatever? And if all of that is going into different places, it is very quickly going to get overwhelming and difficult to follow up on. So in today's episode of the Instructional Leadership Show, I'm going to share with you an approach that I think will make a big difference and that will make it easier to keep track of everything, see it all in one place so that you can decide what to work on and make sure that you're not letting anything critical slip off of the radar and get overlooked. And the first distinction that I want to make in talking about some of the different approaches that we could use is the distinction between stream apps and inbox apps. Now, text messaging is basically a stream app, right? There's simply a stream of messages. You know, if somebody sends you 50 text messages, they just all come one after another and you have to scroll through them. And that's pretty much the only thing you can do with them, right? There's really no way to sort them. You can't put text messages into folders. You can't reply to one and archive it and then delete a different one and then keep another one unread. Like, you can't do all those things you can do with email with text messages. And we know that text messages are good for reaching people quickly because of that immediate stream. You know, they get a notification, hopefully they'll respond quickly. But if they don't respond quickly, then who knows what might happen. And if you're getting a lot of requests by text message, you have a choice. You can either try to deal with it immediately, or you can hope that you follow up later. But it, built into that tool of the, you know, the text messaging app, there's not much in the way of support for following up later. So you've kind of got to figure that out yourself in terms of how you will make sure that you do the work that came through that text message. And of course, this is true in a variety of other formats. You know, if somebody asks you a question on your school's Facebook page, social media presents some challenges to following up. If people ask you for things face-to-face or on the two-way radio in your school, you've got to find a way to follow up because there's no kind of mark as unread, forward, archive, delete, put into a folder. All of those features that email has are missing from all of these stream apps. So this distinction between stream and inbox apps, I think, is really critical. We want to get things into an inbox format that is more manageable for us. And yet email is not our only option. I think by default, most people use email as their main kind of inbox app, where they sort things out and say, okay, where does this go? Where does that go? What do I need to work on? Who do I need to pass this along to? Email is the most obvious inbox app. It's where we keep most of our communication and reminders to ourselves, but I think it's not the best. I think it's just one of two essential inbox apps that we need. And one of the reasons I think email is just not the best for managing work is that simply it's a communication tool, right? It's a great communication tool. If you want to see who emailed me, when did they email me, what was it about, email makes it very easy to get those pieces of information. But it's not suited to figuring out what you actually need to do and when you can do it and how to organize it and how to think about it in the way that other apps are. So email is not your best option for keeping track of unfinished work. We don't want to necessarily organize by who sent it to us and things like that. So instead, I want to encourage you to consider adopting a second type of inbox app. Of course, you will keep using email. There is no universe in which you get to stop using email. I think it's with us. It's here to stay. But a second type of inbox app that I think is absolutely critical for people in this line of work is a task app. And some of these are better than others. You probably have a task feature built into whatever you use for email, like Outlook or Gmail. There's a little task add to task feature built in. But I want to encourage you to use a more robust, purpose-built task app that has a task inbox so that you can do everything that you do with email and everything that you need to do with your tasks, as we're about to talk about. And specifically, I recommend Todoist, Asana, and Evernote. And Google Keep seems to work for a lot of people. It doesn't have all the features that the others have, but it is free. You probably already have an account, so go to keep.google.com if you want to check that out. But I would highly recommend that you check out a more robust and purpose-built task app like Asana, Todoist, or Evernote, because I really think the amount of work that you deal with really justifies a more purpose-built tool. So once you have an app like that, once you have tasks going into a single place, you will be able to then organize them in a way that makes sense to you. And I'm not going to try to tell you that you should organize your tasks my way, that I have the perfect system, that I've used the same system the entire time. You know, I change my own approach from time to time in terms of how I organize tasks and how I keep track of things. But find something that works for you, and it's probably going to involve some fields like due date. It's going to involve maybe sometimes some search terms. Maybe you'll have to look things up and say, okay, where are all my tasks related to that grant or teacher evaluations? Maybe you have different things in different places. Search is a great reason to use an electronic task app. You're going to have dedicated agendas for different meetings, your leadership team meeting, your professional development days, your staff meetings, your PTA or PTSO meetings, your district leadership development meetings, your meetings with your admin team, with your supervisor. there are certain things that you're going to want to make sure you keep a dedicated agenda for, and you can do that in your task app. And then your task app probably also has a feature like star or flag or something like that to make it easy to just note to yourself that you need to pay attention to something. All of those fields and that ability to organize things into projects and different lists make a task app much, much better than email and allow you to consolidate. You know, if somebody gives you a sticky note, you can write that down, put it in your task app. If someone forwards you an email and says, hey, can you do this for me? In some cases, you can actually forward the email itself directly to your task app service. I know with Asana and Todoist, that's absolutely possible. I don't think you can do it with Google Keep. You can do it with Evernote. So again, that's why I recommend Todoist, Asana, and Evernote, because they can actually receive email and allow you to convert emails into tasks. And then from there, you can organize them in whatever way you want. So I want you to take your own work seriously enough to consider using a dedicated task app, right? You would never consider not using an email app, right? You have to use an email app. And it's madness in my view to manage the amount of work that a lot of administrators manage without a good system. Now, having said that, having recommended three different task apps that I think will make a big difference in your work, I also want to acknowledge that for many people, paper is their preferred way to go. And to be honest, paper is mostly what I am using these days. I use Asana as well. I use Evernote as well. And I have used Todoist for many years. I recommend all three of them. But there's something powerful about paper. And that's why in the Instructional Leadership Association, every month, we publish a printable PDF planner for you. It's not designed to be used on the computer. We just send it to you and you print it out. And I actually have mine right in front of me here, and we'll see if we can pull that up here. There it is. This is my printed out planner for the month of August, and I've got my daily pages. There's a page spread for every day of the month, and then there's also a weekly Fortnite sprint plan that we send you. And the purpose of that is to allow you to plan the week ahead on a regular basis to be able to think through all the tasks that you've got coming up in the week. So in this column right here, you can simply brainstorm everything that you've got to work on in the coming week. You don't have to think about it in order. You don't have to keep it perfectly organized. You can organize this however you want, brainstorm in whatever you want, whatever order you want, and then use that weekly spread to plan your week. So you do the weekly spread, and then you flip to the specific days, right? So you'll end up with some tasks that you'll note need to have some work done on them on Monday and on Tuesday. Then you'll flip to those specific pages and plan your agenda in detail. And we call the tools for that, we call the spread that I just showed you the Fortnite Sprint Plan, and we provide a blank version of that so you can update that every week. And then every day in the planner, you have the daily scorecard, which is kind of your to-do list, and we have a methodology that I've taught elsewhere for how to use that daily scorecard. And then you have your agenda, which is your schedule. So if you are a pen and paper person, if you like to check things off as you complete them, if you like to think through your day with your pen in hand and write out your schedule longhand, I'm completely with you. I think there's value in that. I do that. And recommend that you do it as well. But I recommend that you strongly consider using an electronic task app as well, because I think you have a volume of work that justifies it and that necessitates it. The thing is, whatever system you use, you've got to make sure that you're getting current with it on a regular basis. So your planner, you know, when you sit down with your paper planner at the end of the day, you've got to make sure that you got everything done. And if you didn't get something done, you need to move it to the next day. And it's incredibly common to not get everything done, right? Typically, we cannot get all of the work that lands in our lap done in a given day. So some of it we have to put off until tomorrow. And it can be kind of tedious to rewrite things day after day. And that maybe is a little bit of an incentive to go ahead and get them done, not put them off. But sometimes you will need to put things off. And it often can be the case that there is just a huge menu of things that you could be working on that you may or may not get to today. And not all of those really need to be written down on paper. I recommend that you use an electronic task app to keep track of all of those other things that you could be working on. If you do that, it's critical that you treat that app similar to email in the sense that it needs to be gone through, it needs to be followed up on. And I recommend that you strive to get to inbox zero in that task app every day, which means you've looked through everything, you've made an initial decision, you've marked it off if you've already done it, or you have maybe assigned a due date, or just kind of put it where it belongs, so that you're not just getting this larger and larger miscellaneous pile. Get to inbox zero every single day in both your email and your task app, and you will follow up much more effectively. It's not easy, but it is worth it. Now, a lot of people will come to me and say, hey, I would love to have zero emails in my inbox, but the reality is I have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands. What should I do? Should I delete them all? And my answer to that is no, don't delete them. You will probably need some of them. But to get a fresh start, make yourself an inbox bankruptcy folder and just say, okay, everything in this folder, I kind of tried to follow up as stuff came in, but I really didn't go through it all very meticulously, but I need a fresh start. So make yourself a folder that says inbox bankruptcy, and then the month and year, or the day, month and year, whatever works for you. And then take everything out of your inbox and put it in that inbox bankruptcy folder. And you will know that you haven't gone through it, but you will still have a fresh inbox with zero messages. And then it's much easier to start getting to zero emails every day, because you can go through the new ones. You don't have to go through all 20,000 old emails. Just get things out of your inbox and keep doing that. And you will probably have to declare inbox bankruptcy several times a year, often after a break. You know, if you've had thousands of junk mails come in over the summer or over the winter holidays, you may just say, okay, I just need to start fresh. And everything will still be there in that folder. If you need to search through, you know, search for a person's name and make sure that you follow up with them, you can do that. You're not losing anything. You're not losing track of anything, but it can be out of your inbox, so you can get your inbox empty every day. So give that a try. And then when it comes to sorting your tasks into various lists, don't see these as lists of things that you have to do today or even that you have to do ever. The reality is you are not going to get to every single thing you ever write down. Over time, it's going to become clear that some of what you've written down just doesn't make the cut. It's just not a high enough priority. You don't want to lose track of those things, but you do want to be able to consider them as new priorities come in. So the way that I recommend that you think about this is in terms of backlogs, right? For every different meeting agenda that you keep, your leadership team, your PTO, whatever, keep a backlog of possible agenda items. And not everything will make the cut every time, but keep it organized by priority. You know, the most important item at the top, the second most important item second, and then do them in that order. And as you prepare an agenda, you'll say, okay, I can get these three things on the agenda, but everything else is going to have to wait. We really need to devote time to those top three issues. And when your supervisor is coming to chat with you, you can make an agenda for that meeting and say, okay, I really need to talk about this, this, and this. Everything else we'll get to if we get to, but you know, probably those things won't make the cut. We really need to talk about these top three issues. You decide each time what is going to make the cut for a given meeting, a given agenda, a given PD session, a given one-on-one with somebody that you supervise or with your supervisor. Keep that list and constantly reshuffle it, reorganize it, drag the most important thing to the top and the second most important thing to the number two spot, and keep it prioritized, and then always work that list in order. Because the reality is once you have 15 or 20 or 30 different tasks on a list, it becomes overwhelming, right? And you've got to say to yourself, okay, this is the most important. I'm going to bring this task to the top, and that is what I'm going to work on next. If you don't, if you say, this is the most important, but I'm not going to work on it now, I'm going to jump down the list, well, then the app can't really do its job. The list can't really do its job of helping you prioritize. And that's not a job your brain can do very efficiently either. If you have 15 or 20 or 30 tasks on a list, you can't keep those all in short-term memory long enough to really sort through them all and prioritize. So one at a time, when you see something that's the most important, drag it to the top. If you look at the number two thing and you say, no, that's actually more important than the number one thing, rearrange it. Keep it prioritized and then do it. Work through that list in that order. And of course, this gets much easier if you are using other fields like due date, flags, different labels. Your app is going to have lots of different features that allow you to be more efficient with this, to slice and dice in whatever way makes the most sense for you. But whatever you do, I hope you will invest some time setting up a to-do app that is going to make you more efficient, that will make it easier to keep track of what you need to get done. And I thought I would put my recommendations back up here. Evernote right now is seeming like a new favorite. They've added some task features. So if you haven't used Evernote lately, I would highly recommend that you check that out. Asana and Todoist are great. If you're just looking for a straightforward to-do app, Todoist is really quite good. All of these have free versions, and then they have inexpensive paid versions as well that I recommend because they give you some great features. So that is what I have for you today. You've got a lot of work coming your way this year, but you can handle it. And most importantly, you can handle that work and still get into classrooms. But you can't get into classrooms if you are overwhelmed, if you are constantly inundated with so much stuff and it causes you so much stress that you just don't feel like you can get away from the office for even a moment. I don't want you to have that feeling. I want you to be able to get into classrooms with confidence. So set yourself up for success. Get an electronic app that can work side by side with your email to make it easy to keep track of everything that you've got to get done, make it easy to prioritize, and make it easy to follow through. And you will have a much better year. I hope you have a wonderful school year. I hope you have gotten some great relaxation and recharging time. And I hope you're ready to hit the ground running this school year and have a wonderful year. I'm Justin Bader, and this has been episode 115 of the Instructional Leadership Show, and I will catch you next time. Take care.